Welcome, welcome, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the show. I am your host, Rob Zicari, and this is the Rob Zicari Show. On this fine February, or actually, it's March now. What am I saying? February. It's March 7th. It's a fine March 7th. The Ides of March. I know you've heard that. The Ides of March, and is it going to be Cruz? Is it going to be Trump? Or maybe with a huge, and I mean huge, win last night in Puerto Rico. This momentum could possibly sail Marco Rubio on to big victories. Yes, big victories, because you know Puerto Rico is very important. It's very important to win Puerto Rico. Why, you ask? Well, see, they are a special territory. And what I mean by that is, you see, they're allowed to vote in the primaries. But when it comes to the presidential election itself, they're not allowed to. Seriously, the Rubio people yesterday were celebrating a victory in Puerto Rico. You know what that's like for any sports fan out there? When a college football team gets banned from playing in any bowl game, but they're still allowed to play the rest of the season. They get into violations. Happened with USC, happened with Auburn. So they say, you're banned for 4 years. Can't play in a bowl game. Can't play in a national championship game. But you can still play football and you go through the motions. But doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how bad you are. Regardless, you can't play in a bowl game. You can't even play in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. You can't even play in the Alamo Bowl. You can't even play in the Hertz rental car bowl. You just can't. So what's the sense of playing football? What's the sense of having a season? It's like playing for fun. You're out there risking concussions, broken arms, broken legs. You're out there risking your life for nothing. That's kind of like Puerto Rico. It is. That's kind of like Puerto Rico. They just don't count. Why they have primaries, why they vote on anything, it's perplexing. Because when it comes time to pick a president, they're not allowed to vote. So that's what Marco Rubio won. He didn't win any of the states Saturday. It was like a mini Super Tuesday. It was like a mini Super Saturday, I guess you could call it that. He didn't win any states. And actually, I think two of the states, he didn't even qualify. He didn't even qualify to get any delegates. He managed to get like 17%. Think about that. He's the establishment's golden boy. He's the guy that had he still has all the money. Well, he's pretty tight on the money. But he's got the infrastructure. He's got the endorsements. Think about this. In Kansas, he had Governor Brombach endorse him. He had, I think, their senator. I don't even know who the hell it is. I don't even know. You know, you think of Kansas and you forget, Kansas City. But it's like, that's it. Everything else is this desolate wasteland. It's like Mad Max. So you got Brombeck, you got, I don't know, some senator that I don't know his name. Now I know it's not professional for a political talk show host not to know every single senator's name, but that's Kansas. I'm sorry. He had the support of the establishment, and he still lost, and not lost by a little. He got just hammered, in Kansas. And then in Louisiana, he had the backing of Bobby Jindal. You all remember Bobby Jindal. Remember he was in the race for, I think, about a month or so? He was the governor of Louisiana. I mean, it just took that state right in the toilet. I mean, wow, what he did to their economy, what he did to their job. I mean, he's horrible, horrible. But hey, he went out there and said, Marco Rubio's the man, he's the temperament, he's the best, well, he blew a big fart right in the toilet that is the Louisiana primary. Just horrible. He's just horrible. Just horrible. But he won Puerto Rico. So you got Trump winning Kentucky. You got Trump winning Louisiana. And you got Cruz winning Kansas, and you got Cruz winning Maine. Those were the big wins for Cruz and Trump. Now, remember what I said Friday. If Trump blit, he didn't have to win all of them. He didn't have to win all those states. If he won two of those states, remember, three of the four states were caucuses. Nobody's really talking about that because it kind of messes with the narrative of Ted Cruz, you know, coming on strong. There's cracks in the Trump campaign, so you know you got to keep that narrative going. You got to keep that hope alive for some people. Got to keep that hope alive for some people. But remember, a caucus is incredibly, and I mean incredibly, undemocratic. Seriously, it is beyond undemocratic. You have to go to a handful of caucus locations. It's insane. You might only have five. You might only have six. You might only have two. And you have to go there between a certain time. And it's not 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's like a three-hour window. Seriously. It's almost like you're going to see a movie. It's a 2-3 hour window. You got to go there at a certain time. You then sit at a table with other people. You fill out a name. The Democrats have it set up where they argue with each other and try to change people's minds. I mean, it's very third world-like. I mean, I don't want to say you have to be a dedicated voter, because then that kind of throws the whole Trump support off kilter a little. But you've got to be something of a very, very special just really die hard issue, maybe single issue orientated. I mean, think about it. You have to be somewhere at a certain time, at a certain place for 2, 3, 4 hours to cast a vote and at times argue with other people. It's you want to talk about voter ID laws. That's the funny thing. You hear Democrats go, voter ID laws. You can't have voter ID laws. It's wrong. It's racist. Listen, get rid of caucuses. If you want to be fair, if you want to talk about disenfranchising people to vote, get rid of caucuses. I'm a big political person, and I don't know if I would caucus. Seriously, I don't know if I would caucus. It sounds horrible, but I don't know if I would caucus. I don't know if I could. Hell, what if it's on a Friday? Remember, not every caucus is on a Saturday. Not every caucus is on a Sunday. If it's on a Friday, what if it's on a what if it's a work day? What if it's a work day? I got to miss work for 4 hours to go sit in a room and get yelled at. You know, it's, I don't know. It's tough. So Ted Cruz has only won caucuses. I know. Texas wasn't a caucus. Yeah, but Texas doesn't count. It's his home state. It's his home state. He's supposed to win Texas. Had this conversation with you before. If you're running for president, you have to win your home state. It's almost a guarantee. If you're any candidate that has any shot, you have to win your home state. You have to. You have to. He was supposed to win Texas. Every poll that was ever taken for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months always had Ted Cruz winning Texas. So it doesn't count. Put Texas on the side. Iowa, caucus. The other states that he won, which off the top of my head, what other states did Cruz win? Off the top of my head, let me think. Oklahoma, caucus. What else? I'll get it somewhere. I don't have a great research team here, but Cruz won caucuses. That's it. Every win has been a caucus. Kansas, caucus. Maine, a caucus. So aside from Texas, Cruz has not won a state where polls open at 8, 9 a.m. There's 50, 60, 70, 80 different places, people's garages, schools, wherever. You could go before work. You could go after work. You could go during lunch. All in all, it's pretty convenient to go and cast your vote. If you're somebody that works a night shift, you could go during the morning. If you're somebody that works a 9-to-5, you could go after work. All the places are somewhat close to where you live. I know when I lived in Northridge, somebody had it at their house in their garage next to their turpentine and litter box. Yeah, there was the booth was next to their painting supplies, and then their cat's toilet was right there on the ground near it. It was very, very rich in smell. Paint and pneumonia. It was nice. You're in. I think they did it so you can get in and out as quick as possible. You didn't loiter around. Discuss issues. It's not a caucus. Get in there and vote. Go home. Have a beer. So Ted hasn't won any of those. Yeah, that's a fact. I'm not stating BS. It's a fact. He has not won any of those. And I think that's a big deal. I think when you're talking about a Cruz surge, I think you have to talk about him not winning additional primaries. So it's a very big deal. Now, you can say, well, if you look at these states and the one traditional voting state, one voting primary, which was Kentucky, in that state, the early votes, the absentee votes, the people that were able to vote a week or two ago, all were for Trump, but the votes that were counted of people that showed up that day at the polls, a good portion, not the majority, but a good portion were for Cruz. In one huge county, Cruz won by, I think it was 300 or 400 votes. And in another huge county, Trump won by 300 or 400 votes. So it kind of canceled each other out. So people pointed to that and said, look, the attack ads, the debates, they've been working. They have been working. If that trend continues to the states tomorrow, which you have Mississippi, you have Michigan, you have, I think, Idaho, another state that you just kind of forget about. Idaho, the potato, Idaho. And Hawaii. Did I say Hawaii? Oh, excuse me. Oh, gosh. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So they say, will the trend move into Michigan, Mississippi, and Ohio, and Hawaii? Tomorrow, we will see. We will see tomorrow if this anti-Trump trend that started to show itself in Kentucky, if that will show up in these four states for Cruz. We will see. We will see. Will it show up? Now, people seem to forget, and I know it's an argument that Little Rube has made, but it's hard coming from Little Rube because he hasn't won anything. Puerto Rico, remember, does not count. Yes, he won Minnesota, a caucus, but it doesn't count. It just doesn't count. But he won Minnesota, Puerto Rico. It's hard for him to say what I'm going to say. Because if you win nothing, your point goes, you know, at a 100 mile an hour laughter. So Cruz was supposed to win the South. Right now, the election was supposed to be over. Right now, the election is supposed to be done. Cruz was supposed to win every single state in the South. Even when Trump was in. Even when Trump was in. Not, 4 or 5 months ago. But 7 months ago, 8 months ago, Cruz was supposed to win the South. 7 months ago, Cruz was supposed to win the South. 6 months ago, Cruz was supposed to win the South. 5 months ago, Cruz was supposed to win the South. So when people are going, hey, look, he won Kansas. Oh, look, he won Oklahoma. Oh, look. Yeah, man, he was supposed to win every state Trump won. I mean, imagine that. Just imagine this. A billionaire from New York, a billionaire from New York, who talks about two Corinthians walking into a bar. His favorite book is the Bible. And his second favorite book is Art of the Deal. Talks about the size of his hands. I mean, the list goes on. That guy is winning in the South. That guy's winning in the South. And the guy that talks about praying for people. The guy that goes, I would like to say the other candidates, I pray for them that they will make the right decision and drop out of the race. He uses the Jesus dog whistling. This is the guy that's supposed to win the South. Ted Cruz is as close to a televangelist as you could possibly get. Between him and Glenn Beck. Seriously, between him and Glenn Beck, you have Joel Osteen and Benny Hinn. Glenn Beck is Benny Hinn, and Ted Cruz is Joel Osteen. The wife, the two kids. But Joel Osteen's actually handsome. Ted Cruz is creepy. Very creepy. Looks like a character from The Simpsons. So Ted is supposed to win the South. So when people are like, oh, look at that. Oh, he pulled an upset. No, he didn't pull an upset. He didn't pull an upset. And the polling they had for these states was way off because they weren't real polls. They're caucuses. Caucuses. We've now seen when it comes to caucuses, they are not polled properly. The whole concept of caucusing is undemocratic. So Cruz is supposed to win the South. He's supposed to win Kentucky. He's supposed to win Louisiana. He's supposed to win Georgia. He's supposed to win Alabama. How many times did you hear him tell a audience at one of these debates that his immigration plan is promoted and endorsed by Jeff Sessions? Jeff Sessions came out and endorsed Trump. Jeff Sessions is putting together a national security team to advise Trump. So when people go, who's on your team? Who are the people that are advising you? And he goes, I got a lot of people. I don't worry about it. Well, Jeff Sessions is putting that together. So this is what's going on in the South. And it wasn't supposed to be this way. And now we're moving out of the South. We are moving away from caucuses. I don't think there's a caucus left. Seriously, I think there might be one. That's it. I think there's one left. After that, it's all traditional voting. And it's pretty much away from the South. I don't believe that Ted Cruz can win New York. I don't believe Ted Cruz can win Pennsylvania. I don't believe Ted Cruz can win New Jersey. I don't believe Ted Cruz can win Connecticut. I don't believe he can win that whole East Coast corridor. Don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe Ted Cruz can win Michigan. I don't believe Ted Cruz can win Ohio. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Now, I could be wrong. So far, I'm not wrong. So far, I said, if Trump can win two of the four states Saturday, and if he wins Florida, and we'll see about tomorrow. But I said, if he wins Florida, and he wins two of the four states like he did Saturday, it's over. Just give him the nomination. To still be able to come out ahead after having the attack ads and all of these people from Mitt Romney to different senators and former governors say they'd rather vote for Hillary Clinton than Trump. All of this negative crap, the media now using a whole Hitler, this whole Hitler, Trump and his supporters and this angle and basically shaming Trump voters. If he still wins Florida and some other states tomorrow, you got to just go, All right, you win, you did it. We threw everything at you we possibly could. Now there's the claims of Trump tied to mob figures, of course, by a well-known and celebrated liberal, Michael Iskoff, who's always on MSNBC. I mean, just a constant MSNBC contributor. Yeah, he must be on there every day. Rather, it's Lawrence O'Donnell, Matthews, the Sally Cohen lookalike. Rachel Maddow. You got to give it to him. You got to give it to him. If Trump pulls a win tomorrow, you got to think, if he pulls Michigan, if Trump pulls Michigan, what does that say about Ted Cruz and about John Kasich? What does that say? Remember, you know, another thing that no one is bringing up. We started with, 16? Wasn't it 16 people? Maybe it was 17. I think it was 16. And we were told when Trump was at 18%, and then you had, 10%, 5%, 11% were the other candidates. And we were told as candidates fall off, those voters will go to the other people that are not Trump. For some reason, those voters won't go to Trump. They'll only go to people outside of Trump. Because for some reason, their concept is, well, if they're not with Trump now, they're not going to be with him. Because they're with somebody that's not Trump. So that means no matter what, it will always be somebody that's not Trump. I don't know how that concept works in their mind, but it doesn't work in the concept of, well, if they're voting for Rubio and not Cruz or not Chris Christie, and Rubio then gets out, why is it automatic that he will then go, or she will go, whoever that voter is, to a Chris Christie or a Jeb Bush? Like why? Why is it a non-Trump voter means they will never go to Trump? And of course, they can't explain that. Seriously, they can't explain that. They can only explain the other way around. Eventually, all these non-Trump voters, as their candidate loses or, you know, drops out, that candidate and that support will then shift to Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio or Chris Christie or Bobby Jindal or Rick Perry. So as you went from 16 to 15 to 14 to 13, Trump went from 18 to 19 to 20, 21, 22. Look back. Look back at different press clippings, newscasts, where all these pundits, these geniuses, were saying Trump's ceiling's at 20. He ain't going to get higher than 20. Trump's ceiling is at 25. He ain't going to get higher than 25. Trump's ceiling is at 30. He's not going to get higher than 30. Trump's ceiling's at 32. He's not getting higher than 30. Trump's ceiling's at 34. He's not getting higher than 4. Okay, now he's at 34. He will not get any way, shape, or form higher than 34. So now that ceiling just keeps moving. Basically, the Trump ceiling has moved 15 points. It's moved 15 points. And the concept, remember, the concept was by the time you get to three or four candidates, Trump's done. It's over. It's finished. Well, here we are. There's no Jeb Bush. Where did his votes go? There's no Ben Carson. Where did his votes go? I got to assume if Ted Cruz is close to Trump, one can imagine that the Carson voters went to Cruz. One would have to assume that the outsider candidate, which is Ben Carson, went to the other outsider candidate, even though Ted Cruz isn't really an outsider. He paints himself as an outsider, but he's really not an outsider. When you're a senator and you work for the Supreme Court and you work for George Bush, you're not an outsider. You're an outsider because you call Mitch McConnell a liar. And people went, oh, he's an outsider. Hey, wait a minute. But, okay, he's an outsider. But you haven't had this huge surge of all of these people getting out that was supposed to happen, that was going to take Trump out. And nobody's really talking about that. Nobody's really talking about Ted Cruz and the fact that he was supposed to win the South, which he didn't. So when he wins a state from Trump, they go, see, look, the polls from 2 months ago, the polls from a month ago, the polls from 3 weeks ago said Trump was up by 20 points. So look, this is huge. Yeah, but how reliable were those polls? How reliable were those caucus polls? No one's talking about that. No one's talking about the fact that all these people have been getting out and Trump is still on top. So what's going to happen if Little Rube gets out? If Little Rube gets out, where do those votes go? Do those votes go to Kasich? Do those votes go to Kasich? If Kasich gets out, do those votes go to Little Rube? Does anything go to Trump? Does anything go to Trump? Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. Tomorrow's the big one. Michigan. And a new Monmouth poll came out that says Trump is at something like 36%, I think. He's up 10 points on Cruz. I think 15 on Kasich, and Little Rube is 20 points down. Listen, if Rubio gets blown out tomorrow, if Rubio loses in Michigan, Mississippi, Idaho, and Hawaii, it's done. It's over. Seriously, it's done. They could talk about a contested convention, but you cannot give the nomination to Little Rube if he's literally won three or four states. You can't. You can't do it. Not only will you have Trump voters fit to be tied, but you'll have Cruz voters fit to be tied. You're not going to take away the nomination. Listen, if you have Trump going into the convention and he has X amount of delegates and X amount of millions of people that voted for him, and then you have Cruz with X amount of delegates and X amount of millions of people that voted for him, and in a distant third or fourth, you have Marco Rubio, who hasn't won any major state. Maybe he takes Florida. Maybe. And you give the nomination to the little Marco over Cruz and Trump? Never happen. Never happen. Cruz and Trump and their supporters will never, ever go for that. That you might as well call that convention site Ground Zero. Seriously, call it Ground Zero. Because you just blew up the entire party, the structure of the party, you just destroyed the Republican Party at that convention. If the head muckety mucks think that's what they're going to do. And so if Rubio doesn't win tomorrow, and it doesn't look like he's going to win anything, it doesn't even look like he's going to finish second. I mean, Michigan, he's in fourth place. If Rubio can't win any of these places and finish second, third, comes in fourth, he ought to get out. People should demand that he gets out. and give someone else a fighting chance in Florida. Give somebody a fighting chance. Let them go to Cruz. Let them go to Kasich. But if Rubio gets blasted tomorrow, think about what that's going to do. Think about the headlines. Think about the headlines going forward. If Rubio gets blasted tomorrow, and it's Michigan. Remember, the South, Rubio's been saying, oh, well, you know, that's not our strategy. We've never said we were going to win the South. Ted was supposed to win the South. Okay, well, Michigan's not the South. All right? Michigan's not the South. Michigan's not home of Bible thumpers or homeschoolers. This is a blue-collar worker. These are the people that you gotta win in the general, my friend. So if Rubio gets stomped tomorrow, think about the headlines. Rubio loses another four. Rubio finishes third and fourth. Those are going to be devastating. Those are devastating. Think about the people in Florida. You've already had a wave of early voting and absentee ballot voting in Florida, which gives Trump a huge head start. But everything that's going on, even the tens of millions of dollars of negative ads, even the tens of millions of dollars in negative ads, you really think the people of Florida are sitting there going, you know, little Marco hasn't won anything. He hasn't won anything. If we vote for him, we're voting for a loser. Why do we want to vote for a loser? Remember, some of that psychological stuff starts to come into play. You start seeing the run. You start seeing somebody win. Kind of like the bandwagon when you jump on the bandwagon. You're like, oh, Seattle Seahawks. I like them. Yeah. You know, you don't want to be a Cleveland Brown fan. Well, some of that plays into the primaries and, of course, the presidential election. You don't want to be on a dog. You don't want to be on a loser team. If you got one vote and you have four choices and your initial choice is just getting blasted and hammered, and you hear people say, even if that person wins in this state, this one contest, they still have no chance because they are mathematically eliminated. Remember, Rubio's mathematically eliminated. The only way for Rubio to win the nomination is to have a contested Cleveland convention. Whether it's contested or brokered, that's, you know, you say contested, they go, oh, no, brokered. Or you say brokered, and they go, no, that's contested, whatever. That's the only shot Rubio's got. The only shot Rubio's got. So you're a voter, and you're sitting there going, so the only way my guy has a chance to win is a brokered convention or whatever they call it. This is what they're saying, or whatever they call it. And then basically, he has to be given the nomination over these two other guys. And they say that the supporters of these two other guys will blow the building up. So basically what you're saying is there's no chance, even if my guy wins Florida, even if Little Rube wins Florida, someone goes, yeah, there's no chance. So guess what? That person goes and votes for, say, Cruz, or votes for, say, Trump. Not going to go throw their vote away. So I don't see how Rubio lasts after tomorrow. I don't see how he lasts. The writing's on the wall. If he loses every state tomorrow and in some places finishes fourth, that means he's going to get blown out in Florida. That means the polls that show him down 20 points, he's really down double digits. Maybe it's not 20. Maybe it's only 15. And maybe with the $20,000, $25,000 in attack ads, maybe he's down 10. But I don't see him going from 20 to being plus 5. Don't see it. Don't see it. Especially when you have all these absentee ballots already out, all these early voting already done. You got record numbers. I don't see it. Don't see it.